right, welcome back to the Phil Henry Show, world famous and like that, every night till 10 o'clock on the West Coast and 1 a.m. on the East Coast. And we deconstruct and reconstruct, and we basically just try to have fun with our friends at the expense of you.
I'm kidding.
We try to have fun with you and our friends at the expense of them.
Woo!
All right. Some things that we have to talk about, and I don't know where to begin. Margaret, you wanted to discuss. I know that we have the Team Oracle USA America's Cup. Is this something of...
Well, you used to sail, and sailing is a very important sport. Now, I understand that you have to have money to be able to sail, but it doesn't mean that people shouldn't sail, or at least learn how to sail. And there are places where you can learn how to sail, if you want to learn...
How to sail.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. But, I like sailing. I just, I don't know whether it's the biggest... I think when you get to America's pride and America's place in the world and you know, us against them, then everybody's like a... It's like everybody was a chess fan, you know?
Now, chess, man, more people play chess than sail.
Well, yes, that could very well be true. You have to understand, I'm in a very delicate place. I sail frequently with friends of Frank, and Frank does too. We have a boat... it's not a sailboat because Frank won't have anything to do with sailing. He thinks sailing is for people that work too hard. Frank wants to sit and relax.
No, I'm with Frank. You know, I grew up with a father that sailed. I grew up on a sailboat. I didn't grow up on a sailboat, but for a good part of my youth, I was out there on a sailboat with my dad, and because he liked that. And I was born lazy, as most people, I think, have been.
Well, speak for yourself.
Okay. Do you like to sail?
I enjoy sailing, but more to the point, I'm pretty good at it. I'm better than Frank, and we have been out with the Tollivers and some of those people. And I can, when need be, lend a hand.
You know all about how to be sail?
I know enough about sailing, yes, to, as you do, Phil.
I wouldn't put my knowledge of sailing... What I learned about sailing, I couldn't put it to practice on one of these boats.
I'm not saying on one of those boats, but I'm saying as a sailor.
Yeah, I suppose. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff that I learned that I didn't know what my old man was talking about when he was talking about it. You know, he would say, now I got to go into the wind, okay? Now you're ahead of the wind. Now that's it. Go across the wind. I don't know what the hell he's talking about, going into the wind, going ahead of the wind.
Well, ahead of the wind... What is he? Don't. Every time he starts laughing.
But just because she says ahead of the wind. What a baby, man. I swear to God.
Yeah, man. Lighten up, man. I am lightening up.
Anyway, when you run ahead of the wind, that's when you see the big balloon thing. You know the big balloon thing?
You mean the big spinnaker sail?
Oh, get you.
Well, that's what it's called. The big ballooned-out sail that everybody sees, like, on the cover of Yachting Magazine. That one?
Yes, the one on the cover of Yachting Magazine.
Well, that's the one that everybody would recognize. When you see the sailboat with that big, that's called a spinnaker sail, and you're running ahead of the wind. The wind's behind you. Okay. But that's easy. But, I mean, I'm talking about, you know, tucking that baby right into the wind and you know, getting maximum speed. I never could. I mean, I knew what my old man was... I knew it in practice better than what he was talking about.
Yeah, your old man didn't make no sense.
Well, that's unfortunate, but your father did die of several strokes. Wasn't he... Wasn't your father, and I say this with all due respect, Phil, wasn't he borderline imbecile?
Could you watch that, please?
Didn't you tell me that?
No, I didn't. My dad had a serious... He was incapacitated. He had dementia. Borderline imbecile.
Well, what were you talking about then?
I'm just telling you that I was a 10-year-old kid. I didn't know what the hell he was talking about. I just did by example. So one of the things my father used to say is, watch those telltales. There's a little strips of fabric that were tied to the shrouds, these metal lines that held up the mast, okay? And you'd watch and see which way the wind is blowing. And I always knew that I had to have those shrouds in a certain direction. I go right into that wind, and that's what I knew how to do. I didn't know what the hell he was talking about. I just knew that I had to sort of have the sail look a certain way.
What?
And you're a sailor, huh?
Well, I don't know.
You're starting to get that's pretty advanced stuff.
All right, Frank Gray is on the line with us. Frank, the television producer, attorney, entertainment attorney, and he is also the husband of Margaret Gray. Frank, how you doing?
I'm better than Custer, young man.
Hey, and Frank, we're talking about sailing, and Margaret tells me you guys have a boat. You have a, what do you got, a Chris Craft?
We got a cabin, yeah. It's a stout. It's about a 60-footer. And we take it, I've taken it down to Mexico, and we've gone over to Hawaii a couple of times on it. We've got full GPS. He's a good craft, you know.
You know, you're supposed to call a boat she.
That's what I did.
Gender confusion.
Oh, yeah.
He's a very stout craft, and you want to, and every time we bring it into harbor and bring it up to the place where the boat goes, which is where you tie the rope, we give him a good bath, you know.
Where you tie the, you mean the line?
The line, yeah. Let me just explain something to you and to all of your listeners, Phil, so they understand. I don't go in for all that nautical jargon. I don't care if it offends people. On my boat, I say it's a rope, and we're going to go downstairs. I do all the things that would piss off any sailor or nautical person because it's too much trouble and it pisses me off that people expect me to talk some kind of Navy talk. And I get on my boat to relax, not to start speaking some foreign language, okay?
Well, I know. I'm not saying anything to you. It's your boat. You can do whatever the hell you want, you know. Did your father have a boat? Did you?
Yeah, my dad was a fisherman. He enjoyed fishing, and of course, my dad. It was actually my mother. I called my dad. I called him my dad, but it was my mother.
Why did you call your mother your dad?
Because he taught me everything. He taught me how to pee standing up. He taught.
How does your mother teach you that?
Look, you're going to let me finish?
Let him finish, Phil.
Look, my mother was both mother and father to me because my father, she took off, I think, before I was born. So my dad, I called my mother dad, and that's what he was to me. He was my dad, and he taught me how to pee standing up.
Look, do you mind me asking?
I'm going to get to it if you don't mind. He taught me how to pee standing up using a funnel. Okay? So he,
Boy.
Well, what's that supposed to mean, boy?
You gotta be kidding me, man. You had to be taught how to do that?
Yeah, I had to be taught how to do that because my father was a he. Okay? He wasn't a she, like most people's fathers are. He was a he. And so I didn't know anything about peeing standing up. I thought you had to sit down to do it. That's what I saw him doing all the time.
Well, let me ask you a question, if I could.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead and offend me. Go ahead and try and say something about my mother. He was a wonderful woman.
I understand, and I'm not trying to offend anybody, Frank. But I do not recall having somebody to teach me to pee standing up. I just,
Phil, if you think about it, yes. Someone had to say, no, you stand over the toilet, you don't sit down.
That's right, and that's what my mother did. And so in order to show me how, he went into the kitchen and got a funnel, and I think a piece of garden hose. And
okay, all right, I got to take a break. Very good, Frank. Thanks so much for that.
All right. Uh-huh.
When I get home, I'll tell Frank that after he got off the line with you, you were going... and making all kinds of noises.
Yeah, you gotta admit, it's pretty funny. The funnel.
You gotta be kidding me. Did he tell you that story?
Yes, he loved his mother very much, and she was both father and mother to him, because his father, who did run off before Frank was born, was frightened of the prospect of Frank being born, because his father knew what he looked like, and Frank's mother was no looker either, so the father decided to get out while the getting was good, because he didn't want to see the kisser on this kid.
Uh-huh. Well, Frank's a good-looking guy.
Yes, he is. It skipped a generation. I don't know.
All right, we'll be right back on a world-famous Phil Hendry show with more. I think we can bypass the America's Cup, man. We don't need to talk about that. Here's a really fascinating story about cars that have been submerged for decades solving missing persons cases. I mean, that's just flat spooky, man, and that is what is happening in some parts of the country where they just discovered a submerged car and the skeletal remains of two young women that they had lost for 42 years. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here and philhendryshow.com. Now, I got this story here. Mark, don't grab it from me, bud.
That's the one where they found him in a car. So what?
Yeah, they found him in a car. Don't grab it away from me. This is a story, and I don't know why missing person stories are interesting to me. I'm always hoping that they get resolved. I mean, so I guess that shows that I'm not the most, the most despicable guy in the world. It's not like I got some ghoulish fascination with, they're missing. You know, to me, it's a mystery that has to be solved, you know. But and very often they aren't. That's why that show. I don't like that show.
Are you going to start in again about the disappear? That is a great show, Disappeared, or what is it called, Disappeared?
Yeah, Disappeared. I don't like that show because they never have. Most of the time, they never solve it.
Because that's life, Phil. That is life.
Well, Don Misla is going to be on the line with us here. Don is a professor of engineering. He also has his private investigator's license from the state of Washington. He's going to be on the line with us here to talk a little bit about some of these cases. And Don, that's not Don's line, is it?
No. Don? No.
Get Mr. Misla on the line. Don, I wanted to talk to you about this case in South Dakota. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing very well, Phil. Thank you.
You know these two girls?
I know the cases. I do.
I was just talking to Margaret and to the guys here about the show Disappeared. You know that show on ID?
I do know it very well. Yeah.
That show has always bothered me because most of the time it never does have an ending that, you know, that I would like to see. That most people would like to see is they found the person.
No, I think that program probably adequately reflects the reality, Phil, of most families, and that is they're still looking for the individual that's missing. Most people that go missing, we find the percentage of people that stay missing is very, very low, but those are the cases that break your heart.
These two girls in South Dakota, tell me a little bit about this case.
Well, these are two young ladies that were missing for 42 years. It's an eerie echo of events earlier this month in Oklahoma, where they also found a couple of young people. Skeletal remains, though, were discovered on Tuesday in the car of two teenage girls who disappeared 42 years ago, a day after it was found wheels up in a South Dakota creek. Now, the two young ladies were 17 at the time of their disappearance, Cheryl Miller and Pamela Jackson. They're from Vermilion in southeast South Dakota. They disappeared on May 29, 1971. They were on their way to a party. And according to records on file with the Justice Department's National Missing and Unidentified Person System, that's the last time that anybody had any contact with them. They were in a 1960 Studebaker. It hadn't been seen until Monday when a fisherman spotted its wheels poking out of the water in Brule Creek. That's down near Elk Point. And that's about 30 miles east of Vermilion on the Iowa border.
Do you know that area?
I know it. I'm familiar with it. I've gone fishing there. And I've also looked and poked around. Hold on for a minute. Give me a little bit of lemon water and just some... Sorry, Phil, I'm dealing with a cold myself. I know you had the flu.
I had a little bit of flu last week. I got the flu from a flu shot. Well, I had the flu, and then I got it made worse by a flu shot.
Would you recommend getting a flu shot?
I would, yeah.
Can I get a little bit of honey and a little bit of lemon juice, just a little tiny bit of water? Yeah, that's too much. I've been fishing in that area, Phil, and so I know the area very well. The car was in bad shape. It had been buried in the mud at the bottom of a creek for 42 years, and the crews had a difficult time pulling it out until Tuesday when they made the discovery. According to the Attorney General of the state of South Dakota, Marty Jackley, He told a local television station the car was spotted thanks to a recent drought in the region, which dropped the creek's level low enough for it to emerge after four decades. He cannot determine yet whether foul play was involved. See, this is the part that bothers me. With all of our modern forensics, and you got a car that's upside down in a creek, you're telling me there isn't foul play? Excuse me, hold on, Phil. I want a little tiny bit of lemon juice, and I want a little tiny bit of water, okay? You're trying to tell me that there isn't foul play? I think there is foul play.
Well, what about the possibility that the car was...
What is that?
It's my phone, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's very distracting.
I apologize. I've got a phone that's ringing, and I'm on the air. What about the fact that the car might have been an accident, and it flipped upside down and landed in the mud and just went underwater?
Well, that is possible. I mean, you're talking about a part of the country where that is not, it's not a lot of people there. It obviously is a populated area, but it's very possible that. But I just think, what's the likelihood that you're going to go upside down into a creek and just, that's it, that's the end? I can't, when I look at my own life, I look at the life of Don Mesler, and I think, are you trying to tell me that's how I'm going to go out? I go upside down in a creek, and that's the end? There's not a peep, there's not a mouse fart, excuse my language. Just go, hold on for a minute, Phil. I need a little tiny bit of...
Who are you talking to?
What's that?
Who are you talking to?
I'm talking to one of my student assistants here. I got to get, a little bit of lemon juice.
Because you've been asking this person for lemon juice, and...
I'm asking for my cough. I need just a tiny bit. What the problem is, Phil, they're bringing me too much. I just want a little tiny bit of lemon juice, water, apple juice. Did I say apple juice? I didn't say it. All right, I need apple juice, water, lemon juice, and honey. All four in equal parts. All right. I apologize, Phil. They can't determine. Cheryl and Pamela, they were juniors at Vermilion High School. They were last seen on their way to a party at a gravel pit just a mile, half mile. Well, imagine, they really, the kicks come hard in that part of the world, huh? Going to a party at a gravel pit. That's great.
All right, we don't need that kind of commentary. You know, the thing that...
Well, I'm sorry, but I think that if they had more for these kids to do, they wouldn't be on their way to a party at a gravel pit.
Yeah, and they would have flipped it upside down.
Well, what do you want them to do, man? Do you want to have a few more places for kids to go to in these remote areas so they don't flip their car upside down and land in a creek because they're on their way to a gravel pit to get their kicks? I mean, it's a remote part of... It's not remote, but it's a lightly populated part of the country. It's South Dakota. What the hell?
I'm saying, I mean, if you care about your kids...
Well, what does that mean, man? You know, I have to tell you, this is a period of time when I was... Myself, I was 18 years old, so I was the same age as these girls. And we were partying in those days. 71, I was 18. I was a freshman at Pasadena City College. And you went, and you used to drive up in the city here where I grew up. We would drive up and down streets until we saw a whole bunch of cars, and we realized there's a party, and we'd get out, and we'd go in.
So what you did is you just crashed the parties.
I didn't know. That's what you did?
That's what we did, yeah. We just looked for parties. You would drive around looking for parties, and as soon as you saw a bunch of cars, you'd stop, you'd get out, and go in. These kids, living where they lived, they obviously that wasn't an option, so they had to, you know, plan their parties.
Yeah, and so they planned them in a gravel pit. All I'm telling you is there's got to be a better idea. I mean, if they had an idea man down there or something like that.
All right, well, I don't think that that's worthy of our discussion right now.
All right, well, in any event, hold on for a minute, Phil. I need a little, just a dab, not even, it wouldn't even wet the hair of a mouse.
Could you just not keep doing that? Because it's driving me nuts.
Yeah, it's a little distracting.
What is?
You keep asking for this lemon juice.
No, hold on. I'm asking for a little tiny bit. Test it out. We have laboratory mice here, Phil. Test it out on a mouse. I'm asking for some hair gel. It's got nothing to do with my cold. And
what do you mean, test it out on a mouse?
I'm saying take a little tiny bit of hair gel. I'm talking to a guy on the radio. He doesn't get it. And comb it into the mouse's head just to see how it looks. Okay, Phil. Now,
see, you're doing whatever you're doing. You're doing your business, your lab work. I thought you were an engineer.
I am, but I'm also here in this lab. They had mice, and I developed a hair gel on the side. Is that bad, or...?
Well, it's very unusual. You're an engineer with a PI license, and you also developed a hair gel. You're coughing... It's distracting me, Don, and I can put up with just about anything.
All right, well...
I mean, what do you mean, comb it into the mouse's hair? Are you...
I'm just saying, we're testing out the hair gel.
Okay, hold on. I want to get to this story, and I want to talk about it serious, and I don't give a damn about whether he has hair gel to test out or whether there's a mouse available. Comb it into the mouse's hair. Phil Hendry's show here as we talk with Don Mixa from University of Washington on these missing girls and the forensics, the forensic science that we have available to us now, and how more than ever before we are discovering missing people, the remains of missing people, identifying the remains of missing people. And then there's also the story of these bog bodies. You know, they're finding people that are like 5,000 years old.
What are their names?
They don't have a database on their names, man, but we'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show. Man.
Name of the bog man.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. And on the line with me is Don Mixa, unless Don is just having a hard time tonight.
Well, he's having a hard time with his flu, and he just asked for a little...
Yeah, a little tiny bit of the honey.
He keeps asking for a little tiny bit of this and a little tiny bit of that, okay?
Yeah, well, maybe his girlfriend's used to asking for that.
Okay, Margaret, you know, let me do the jokes.
Oh, us?
Let me... Don Mixa with us from the University of Washington as we continue discussing with him the forensics involved, the forensic science involved in identifying people who've been missing for so long. These girls that went missing in 1971 and have just now been found, do we know if there are any relatives still alive?
That is a very good question, Phil, and my cursory view of this, the girls, just to finish the story, and they were last seen, they were on their way to a party. They were following a car full of boys who they stopped to ask for directions to the party. The boys told investigators that when they looked back in their rearview mirror, the girls had vanished. It's very possible, Phil, that we're talking about an accident, just as you said. I'm simply saying to you that I would like to think that Don Mixa is not just going to flip a car upside down and that's the end of that, you know.
I understand, and I don't think I'd like to hear about Phil Hendry doing that, but, you know, I mean, sometimes life is that cruel. You're alive, you're full of vim and vigor, you're looking forward to a lifetime of enjoyment and plans and dreams, and the next thing you know, you're upside down in a creek and you're dead.
Well, I mean, the way you put it,
Yeah, I know, but that's life. And these poor kids, in 2004, clothing, bones, a purse, and other items were found on a farm belonging to David Lycan, a convicted serial rapist who was subsequently indicted on 6 charges of murder in the girl's disappearance. But those charges were dropped 4 years later.
Yeah, that is an example of the Innocence Project. I'm not saying the Innocence Project, but that's an example, I think, Phil, where the Innocence Project was not needed, to where the prosecutors involved in the case, they learned that another inmate had made up his claim that this guy had confessed. The informer was convicted of perjury, and this guy, Lycan, remains in prison on the unrelated rape convictions.
So this guy, they were about to burn down for the murder of these girls. That was 2004, and it turns out that it was phony baloney.
Yeah, the jailhouse informant was just that, just a dirty little... You know, let's face it, the jail is full of these dirty little cheap, greasy... I mean, I got to tell you, I was, in my younger days, I got another 6 months in jail for assault. Had nothing to do with sexual assault, but a dirty, cheap, little, greasy jailhouse informer decided to eeny, meeny, miny, moe, and he picked out me, Don Mixa. He says, I think I'll rat this guy as a guy that was, you know, assaulted... you know, another inmate, and it was not sexual, but they tried to make it sound that way.
Well, did you assault the guy?
I didn't assault him, no. I thought it was consensual.
And it's not sexual?
It was not a sexual assault. It was consensual.
In jail?
Yes, in jail. Yeah.
Phil, I mean, you know, it's embarrassing for Don.
Well, he brought it. Don, you brought it up.
Yeah, I know I brought it up as an example of a dirty, greasy little punk.
All right, I'm sorry.
Let's just move past it, all right?
But it was sexual.
Oh, man. Yes, it was sex.
All right, I mean, look, pal, you know, if you don't want these things talked about, don't bring them up.
In any event, the charges were dropped. Now, after state troopers found two similarly mud-caked cars buried in a lake in Oklahoma earlier this month, it took them almost a week to discover that they contained what are presumed to be the bodies of six people. Now, that's Oklahoma. And look at the difference between cops in Oklahoma and cops in South Dakota. The cops in Oklahoma can't figure out, what is that? Is that a body? It takes them a week to figure out there's six people jammed into this car. Are you ready for that? Now, the last time I heard that happen was, and as God is my witness, Phil, was a drive-in movie theater that my sister worked at. And she let in, I don't know how many cars. People were hidden in the trunk. There were people hanging underneath the car. You know how people used to sneak into drive-in theaters.
Yeah. I mean, that was a common occurrence back in the days of drive-in theaters.
Yeah, well, my sister worked at one. And she let in one night about a half a dozen cars with probably a total of 50 people got in for free. And when they asked her later, she said, I didn't know what it is. She said, what are you talking about? I couldn't tell what was in that car. I said, a car came in. It had to be driven by somebody, but I couldn't make out head nor tail what was in it. I don't know whether there was a human driving it, whether that was a rabbit.
Well, what is that? I don't understand. What does that mean?
Is there too many people can't make it out?
Just what I said. She couldn't make out how many people there were, feet, eyeballs, you know.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, wait, let's back up. You think I'm nuts?
I think if you're telling me your sister let six cars in with a total of 50 people and she couldn't tell who's driving the car.
Well, she knew a person was driving the car. But the Oklahoma authorities, Phil, said that they found six bodies eventually. They figured out there were six bodies. Well, it's the same with my sister. Eventually, she figured out 50 people got in for free, but she couldn't figure that out. All she saw was car after car after car with people, but 50?
All right. Fair enough.
Yeah, so that's what they... And one of the cars found in Oklahoma was being used by three high school students who vanished in November of 1970, just 6 months before Pamela and Cheryl disappeared.
Was there any connection between the two?
No, there's no connection between the two. No, there wouldn't be. I mean, one's in South Dakota and the other's in Oklahoma.
Yeah, but it's about the same time.
Yeah.
No, it isn't about the same time. November of 1970 and May of 1971, it's totally different. Two different states. Two different genders, two different cars.
Just kids that go missing. All right, Don, thank you very much.
I just want to make one thing clear. My sister is a wonderful person, and she's now retired. She was a nurse for some 40 years, and her husband are retired, and they live up at Owens Lake. But I wanted to say that she is not mental. She's working at this drive-in. Cars are coming in. They fired her because 50 people got in for free. And they all had fireworks, and it apparently was not a very good night for her. But she didn't know. They were hanging underneath the car. They were stuffed in the trunk. They had one guy who risked very serious injury. He laid across the engine block, and they were able to get the hood down over top of him.
Just to see a movie?
Yeah, I mean, you know how it was.
Well, yeah, I know how it was. But, I mean, to lay across an engine block... I mean, how good? What movie was it?
I don't know what movie it was, Phil. It might have been, The Exorcist or one of those. It might have been nothing. You know, it might have been the Martian from,
Martian from Outer Space.
Well, it's not going to be called The Martian from Outer Space because obviously that's where a Martian's from.
Well, whatever the movie, I'm just trying to say that obviously it was a very, very popular night. For a guy to lay across an engine block.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they did everything. They stuffed... there were two guys that were hanging from the oil pan underneath the car. There were about four people in the trunk. Then they had two people in the back seat, two people in the front seat. But in the back seat, laying low, were four more people.
Four?
Yeah. And then in the front seat, they had three. So there were two girls in the front were hiding, and the problem, you know, one of them had his head under, you know, and please don't, but he had his head stuck under this girl's dress. So he got into all kinds of hell on earth. I mean, they almost lynched him.
I don't know. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Seattle, Washington.
Okay, I...
Well, what, do you think of some hayseed country up here, Phil?
No, I don't think it's hayseed, but I you know, for them to almost... thank God your sister grew up and wasn't too damaged by that experience. It sounds weird. Don, thanks very much for an update on this. We'll be talking to you later.
Well, that is...
You know what? Who knows if any of that's true? So they found these girls. They don't know if it was foul play. I'm willing to bet, if you take a look at this picture, and I'll hold it up on the camera here on Phil TV, you see the wheels coming up out of the mud there?
Yes, it looks like it flipped upside down.
It does. So I'll be willing to bet, if these kids are looking in the rearview mirror and they don't see the car went off the road. The car, the girls lost control of the car, went off the road. It happens. It sounds too pat and too easy, and that's exactly the reason why a lot of people don't believe things like that happen. But they do happen that way. The car went off the road. It flipped. It went into the mud. These poor girls are pinned inside this thing. I mean, you're upside down in water. Jack, you haven't got a prayer. You haven't got a prayer.
Yeah, it could have swim out.
You don't even... What do you mean swim out? You don't... You're completely disoriented, man. You're upside down. There's water filling the car. What you think is up is down. What you think is down is up. You know, you're trying to roll a window down. It isn't going to happen. It isn't going to happen. All right, we'll be back. Our final segment here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Don't forget to get a backstage pass at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. A backstage pass gives you access to thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of audio, thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of video casts, of character clips, all kind of thing, man. It's the largest repository of any single radio show in the history of man on this planet. Prove me wrong. All right, we'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. What?
Dropped off from Channel 40.
I just had the same conversation with our dear close personal friend CJ. You gotta, if I don't give a damn, if you can't afford your tags, you look, it costs hundreds of dollars to get your tags redone or whatever, you know, renewed, wherever.
What are you talking about?
Talking about something you don't worry about, which is getting your tags renewed.
You're talking about the car?
Yeah.
No, I don't do that. I send Impara one of our assistants.
Well, isn't that nice, Margaret? A lot of us don't have that, you know.
Well, I'm not trying to lord it over you. You're the one that brought it up.
I'm talking to Robert about getting his tags renewed, and he says he can't afford it. What do you mean you can't afford it? It costs hundreds of dollars no matter where you live.
State of California, man, it costs a lot of money.
Yeah, it could have cost that much someplace else.
No.
Yeah, it is.
What about if I move to Rhode Island?
Rhode Island? What do you want to move to Rhode Island for?
The tags would be more affordable.
Oh, are you nuts or something, man? Rhode Island's going to charge you hundreds of dollars. They're in a state in the union that doesn't charge you hundreds of dollars to get your car tags renewed. Get your freaking tags renewed, man. You know, I'm the same. I was in the same boat for a long time until I finally got responsible, which means I got married.
Yeah, that's who took care of it for you.
Well, no, I was responsible before that. But I remember I was driving around with expired tags on my car for a long... Here in California, I was driving around with expired tags for at least a year, maybe a year and a half, until finally I got nailed by the CHP one morning. And I figured I had beaten the odds pretty consistently for a long time. I was due. And I got pulled over, and here in California, you get a ticket, and you better... Now, if you got a suspended driver's license, you get arrested. And that's, I think, the way it is everywhere. But the expired tag thing is different in different states. Some states, they impound your car. In other states, they will just simply give you the ticket.
What do you mean they impound your car? They take your car from you.
Yeah. If you don't have a properly registered car, they take it away from you. And it's not unlike not having a valid driver's license. You will be arrested. You will be arrested. Without a valid driver's license, or at least with a suspended driver's license. So it's just find the freaking money. If you can't afford to drive a car, you can't afford to drive. Is that what you're saying, Robert?
I can afford to drive a car. I just didn't want to have to spend the money.
Yeah, you got to have to spend it.
I know that now, numbnut.
Can he call me numbnut on the radio? I think he just did. All right, Amanda Bynes, speaking of mental health, Amanda Bynes' drunk driving case has been moved to a mental health court. Boy, that's too bad, man. The drunk driving case against troubled actress and former teenage star Amanda Bynes has been moved to the mental health court at the request of her attorney. Attorney Richard Hutton argued the 27-year-old former Nickelodeon star was unable to stand trial in the case due to doubts about her mental competence. Bynes has been under court-ordered psychiatric care after she allegedly started a small fire in front of a home in the L.A. suburb of Thousand Oaks in July. Los Angeles Superior Court Judge Edward Morton referred the case to the court's mental health division, where a judge will decide if Bynes is fit for trial. Her drunk driving case stems from an April 2012 incident in which she was charged with driving under the influence in West Hollywood. Police said Bynes struck a sheriff's patrol car and refused to take a sobriety test. That's not good, man. When you hit a cop car, you,
You better do what they say.
You hit a cop car and you're drunk. That's about as big a screw-up in the history of screw-ups as there is. And then she refuses to take this. Only a chick. Excuse me for saying this, folks. I'm sorry. I shouldn't. But it's true. It's true. I see women do this, and then they pull that, I won't take that. I think it's because some chicks who are really, you know, good-looking, they think they can sweet-talk a cop.
No, I know what you mean. I used to do it as a young girl, too. I never forget, I lost control of my father's car. He had a station wagon. He had one of those big Ford LTD station wagons. You remember those?
Yeah.
I lost control of this. It got airborne.
Good God, Margaret.
No, I'm not kidding. This was in downtown Harrisburg. It was near the state capitol. It was raining, and I was with some girlfriends, and we were having some, just a crazy time. We were out for our midterms. I think it was spring vacation. I lost control of the car, and we did a windmill across two intersections. Okay. We slammed into a state patrol car that was right in front of the Capitol building, setting both of our cars on fire.
Oh, come on.
No. Now, we got out okay. I crawled out of the window. Both of my girlfriends, they got out, just opened the door. I had to crawl out through the windshield.
Was there anybody in the state patrol car?
No, there was no one in that car. But the fires went out right away. I don't know what started the fires. But the fires went out right away. There was an engine fire, and there looked to me as if there was a fire underneath the patrol car. Well, it turns out that the state patrolman, was asleep in the trunk of his own car taking a nap.
Get out of here!
All right, I'm throwing the flag on that.
Are you telling me I'm a liar?
What do you mean he was asleep in the trunk of his own car? This guy was taking a nap in the trunk of his own car.
Phil, I get a little tired of being called a liar by you. All right?
You know what? You're right. I should know. You've had a very weird life.
Well, don't say it as if it's an indictment.
Well, okay. Let me just recap. You're with your girlfriends. You're partying. It's spring vacation.
Yes, we're not drunk or anything, but we're playing grab ass or whatever.
What do you mean grab ass?
We're screwing around in the car. We're 16 years old.
All right.
So I'm grabbing her ass, you know.
No, I don't know. Now this is getting even weirder.
Oh, look at the eyes light up on you guys when it sounds lesbian. Well, now I'm not going to tell you.
What? I mean, what the hell kind of a story is this, man? We're playing grab ass. I'm grabbing her three. I can figure guys doing that.
Oh, really?
So anyway, you're,
No, I'm not going to go through it.
Okay, well, I can remember what you said.
Yeah?
You were doing a kind of a helicopter through two intersections. So the street is that wet that the car is sliding and spinning. It's pinwheeling across two intersections.
Yes.
You slam into a state patrol car in front of the Capitol building in Pennsylvania, and both of the cars ignite on fire and then very quickly go out.
Yes.
What do you think that was?
Well, it must have been the rain that put them out.
Well, a gasoline fire or an oil fire, that doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense.
It might have been some brief electrical charge. I don't know.
Well, did anybody ever tell you
My father took care of it. Okay, Phil, I don't know.
Boy, that would be a really interesting thing to find out eventually. You know, your father took care of it. I mean, it sounds like there might have been some liability that Daddy just bought off.
How dare you? Even if that were true, for you to articulate that gives me more pain in that area.
She's pointing at her butt.
Well, if you didn't...
Hey, watch it.
I'm pointing that out.
You're the one that said you were having pains in your ass.
Yes.
So the fire goes out, and then they open up the trunk of the state patrol car, and the cop is in there taking a nap.
Yes, the cop's in there taking a nap. Yes.
Well.
You don't believe it.
I believe it. I just think it's... I'm so tired of hearing these weird-ass stories. It's enough to make a man want to cry. I'm telling you, it's just so freaking weird, man. You know.
Well, Phil, it's my life, not yours.
Pinwheeling through traffic, playing grab-ass.
That's right, and there was a cop asleep in the trunk of the car. All of it true, all of it drawn from my life. And yes, my father took care of it with money.
Yeah. Well, there you go, folks. The story of jurisprudence and growing up young in America. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Don't forget to join us online at philhenryshow.com. After the show, we'll have a show log posted. We'll also have another classic podcast ready to go for you. And we'll see you all tomorrow night, 7 o'clock Pacific, on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 10 o'clock Eastern Time. And again, many, many thanks to all of our new affiliates, our listeners, all of our advertisers, and tomorrow night we will do a rundown of our new stations, huh?
I think that'd be nice.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.